The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Prepare the escape pod for a launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
You will.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state-of-the-art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came into logbook.com's escape pod. The logbook.com's escape pod is still in flight, exploring the futuristic, the fantastic, and the unmistakably geeky. I'm Earl Green, and for the next few minutes, I'll guide you through what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1967, NASA launched Lunar Orbiter 3, mapping the moon ahead of the Apollo lunar landing missions. Lunar Orbiter 3 has the distinction of being the first unmanned spacecraft to take a picture of another unmanned spacecraft. It was able to spot Surveyor 1 on the surface of the moon from orbit. In 1971, after the near disaster of Apollo 13, NASA's Apollo program was back in business with the launch of Apollo 14.
15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, ignition sequence start, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Launch commit. Liftoff. We have liftoff on Apollo 14. 3 minutes past the hour. The tower is clear.
Roger, you have good thrust and all five engines.
Okay, Houston, roll complete.
Roger, roll complete.
Shepard reports roll program completed. Pitch profile still in progress. 37 seconds.
Stand by for mode 1 Bravo. Mark, 1 Bravo now.
Okay, we're 1 Bravo.
Capcom, Gordon Fullerton making that report.
Alan Shepard, the first American astronaut to reach space, became the only Mercury astronaut to walk on the moon. Apollo 14 made the most accurate landing of the entire Apollo program. In 1974, Mariner 10 visited Venus, grabbing a gravity assist on its way to Mercury. For the first time, Mariner aimed its cameras at Venus and saw elaborate cloud features that had been hidden to every previous space probe. By looking at the planet through an ultraviolet filter, Mariner 10 was able to spot impressive detail in Venus's atmosphere. The second resident crew of space station Mir lifted off from the Soviet Union on this day in 1987, with one of the new crew setting a new space record by staying in orbit for nearly a year. Author William S. Burroughs was born on this day in 1914. H.R. Giger, whose artwork inspired the movie Alien, was born in 1940. Stephen J. Cannell and Dark Shadows actor David Selby were both born on this day in 1941. Atari founder Nolan Bushnell was born today in 1943. Actor Michael Sheen was born in 1969. On this day in 1990, Q was back to torment the crew of the Enterprise, even though he was effectively powerless in the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Deja Q.
We know you're behind this, Q.
These aren't my colors. And what are you blathering about, Riker?
What kind of twisted pleasure does it give you to bring terror into their lives?
Whose lives?
The millions of people down there who are watching as their moon falls out of the sky.
Oh, I haven't the vaguest idea what you're talking about, and I have a much more serious problem. I'm no longer a member of the Continuum. My superiors have decided to punish me.
Punish us as well, it would seem.
In 1997, productivity around the world suffered a near lethal blow as the first edition of MAME, the Multiple Arcade Machine Emulator, appeared on the internet. MAME was a piece of software that could run a number of ROM images of arcade game circuit boards with great accuracy, bringing nearly perfect arcade emulation home. It also sparked a conversation about the legality of emulation, which isn't likely to end anytime soon. You can read about these events and many more on the logbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. If you want to witness video game history unfolding firsthand, the logbook.com is the place to do it. With downloadable videos from the comprehensive chronology of phosphor.fossils to the origin stories of the industry told by those who lived it in the best of CGE videos. Previously available only on DVD, you can now download the specific videos you want to see. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in the logbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
ready to dock. We're at 3 hours, 13 minutes now to the flight.
And we dock.
Roger, we can see the flight oscillation.
Metro reporting that Apollo 14, the command module, Kitty Hawk, has docked with the lunar module.
Okay, Houston, we've hit it twice, and sure looks like we're closing fast enough. I'm going to back out here and try it again.
Roger.
Well, we better back off here and think about this one, Houston.
Roger.
We're unable to get a capture.
Roger, Ed.
That's Stu Russo and Ed Mitchell reporting that, at least at this point, they're unable to get a capture. We'll stand by.
This is Bruce Morton in Houston, and this is the docking probe, a test model not quite as shiny as the one aboard Apollo 14, but the same machine which has caused so many anxious thoughts and tests here. With me is Bob White, a subsystem manager with NASA whose domain includes the docking probe. Bob, how should it work?
Well, Bruce, the probe being mounted in the command module is flown into the drogue, which is mounted into the limb tunnel. The idea being we have a funnel effect here with an apex hole that would capture into the three capture latches in the probe head. Upon capture, the probe latches would lock and you could not separate. If I may demonstrate here. Now we have a situation where we have the three latches behind the drogue and you cannot separate. Of course, we also had a remote capability of undocking at any time we desire.
Now, what happened last night, I suppose, was that they weren't locking somehow.
That apparently is right. Either they weren't making it all the way into the hole of the drogue, or we were having a malfunction in the locking mechanism.
Do you know what went wrong? You never could get it to go wrong again when
no,
the astronauts tried.
We've looked at all the preliminary information we have, and we can't get any indication of what really did happen. We've had the crew do a post-docking test on the probe. They cycled all the mechanisms that we suspected. Everything worked beautifully, and we just have no doubt that the mechanism is now operating like it should.
Okay, Houston, we'll review what we're going to do for you, see if it's the right thing to do. We're going to make the approach close at a very slow rate until the initial contact. We're going to call out at that time and apply plus X. I will then go to the retract prime one position.
That's it, Al. That should do it if that probe does actually retract, and if our alignment is good enough, the possibilities are pretty good of picking up the docking latch.
Okay, Houston, we're about 12 to 15 feet away.
Roger, Ed. We got a very good thing here.
We got some, Houston.
Roger, a hard dock, Houston.
Roger, Al. That's great. Super job, Stu.
Thank you.
Good evening. The uncertainty that's been hanging over the Apollo 14 mission throughout most of the day has now been settled. The decision is to go for a landing on the moon. The official announcement came late this afternoon from Apollo Mission Director Chester Lee.
We are proceeding with every intention of making a full lunar landing mission.
The rocket booster escape pod was retained and prone to spiral.